Matthew chapter 5, verse number 8. Jesus says that it is the pure in heart that will see God. You see, it's the pure heart that comes to understand his will. The pure heart can see clearly. Without a pure heart, you're not able to see clearly. You will not see God. You see, with a pure heart, all of a sudden our thoughts, they contain a firm confidence. We understand who God is. We understand how God has created us. We understand the world in its proper perspective. We have a clear view and clear understanding. And with a pure heart, you and I continue to stand firm. The pure heart helps us never to give up. The pure heart is able to see God working. If you cannot see God working, you may have a tendency to try to just forget about everything and lose heart. See, but the pure heart is able to continue to go on. The pure heart is really the ticket. I talked to you a lot about how God is after our heart. That's truly what he's after. The same thing when I talk about finances. It's not the finances, but it's the heart, the generosity that God is trying to encourage within our life. And like Jesus, that means that whatever we do, we are to do it for the glory of God. Can I hear an amen to that? That's the purity of a pure heart. You know, this is a Christmas season. And the Christmas season, a pure heart, pure motives, is truly what Christmas is all about. Whatever we do it for the Lord. When we're faithful, we're guided by his love, and we just follow, and we just obey. And it's the purity of heart. Now, it's possible that perhaps maybe you get into a situation where you do something, and it may seem right to you, but other people perceive it differently. And then maybe after a while you begin to understand, maybe my motive wasn't that perfect after all. Jesus tells us to be perfect. He tells us to be like our Father, to have this pure motive. And the Bible tells you that when you please the Lord, when your heart is pure and you please the Lord, the Bible says he even makes your enemies to make peace with you. Even your enemies, the hardest people to reach. So I don't know what happened to you this week. Maybe you did something that you weren't too happy with. Maybe it wasn't as pure as you would have liked it. But this is a Christmas season. Let's repent. Let's let joy fill our hearts. Let's let the pure heart be expressed. That's our challenge for Christmas. The pure heart sees the word of God and then does it. It endures. It follows. To do that, we need to always be in prayer. Jesus told us that. We need to focus on God's word because his thoughts and his ways certainly are different than our ways. We know that they are better than our ways and they will always accomplish his will. So that's why it's so important to focus on the word of God. And during a trial, how many have been in a trial? When you have a trial of your faith, that's when you really need to resist. When you're in the midst of a trial, that's when the enemy comes in. He knows you're vulnerable because you're going through a difficult time, and he knows where the stones are that he can pick up and throw them at your life. He knows your weakest points. That's when you need to resist Satan's evaluation of who he says you are. From the very beginning, he's been called the accuser of the brethren. And so he comes in. I mentioned to you the first thing that God said to Adam. It wasn't that, oh, you should have never done that. He said, who told you that you were naked? Who were you listening to? And that's the challenge. We must always be listening to the Spirit. We must be careful who we listen to, whose opinion we value. We must value what God says about us. Amen? Even when we have no strength to persevere, that's when we must make a deeper commitment. We've talked about that. It's so important. Last week, we saw that when Jesus was overwhelmed, he made his greatest commitment to God, your will, not mine. And when he did that, the angel was sent to strengthen him, to keep our spiritual covering and to receive an increase in God's grace. We must learn to celebrate difficulties. Big challenge for every one of us. When we get angry, if we get upset, things aren't going our way, that's when we should start praising God. That's when we lift our hearts and look to the heavens from where our help comes from. And we begin to praise him. Because sometimes God allows circumstances in our life to reveal the pride that's within us. And he'll allow that to happen so that we can become more like Jesus. So we say, thank you, Lord. We praise you. Help me to realize that I'm not as spiritual as I thought I was, that I still need the Spirit of God to guide my life. Difficulties, hardships, weaknesses, persecutions, insults. We saw that Paul calls all of these things, and he says he delights in them because they help him to depend upon God the Father. We don't like them, but they are helpful to their character development, that we might become like Christ. Paul says, when I'm weak, then I'm strong, because I'm depending upon God, not myself. I'm depending upon him. In life, we find times when we are treated unjustly. We don't always get treated the way we think we should. It's not always fair in life. And at that time, we make a choice. You're either going to become bitter and angry, or you're going to overcome the evil that is coming against you with good. You overcome it with good. People sometimes stop coming to church, drop out of ministry. They stop altogether because they've been wronged by someone. Someone has hurt them. But even if you don't quit, even if you keep persevering, when you feel you've been treated unfairly, your cycle of success will suffer because you won't try as hard. You won't put everything into it. And all of a sudden, your success and the cycle of success is broken. When we think about how we're mistreated, there are negative emotions that come into our hearts and into our life, and they take their toll on us. They try to destroy who we are in Christ Jesus. Those negative thoughts, they begin to stew like a good soup, and they stew in our hearts and our life, and then eventually they'll boil over. While most of us focus on the wrong that's been done to us, the apostles I mentioned, they learned how to focus on the good that they could do for other people. Not the wrong that's done to them, but the good that they can do to other people. This is a ministry. It's called a ministry of reconciliation. You're going to get hurt by people. There are people who do not want to be reconciled. Life generally brings hurts. How many have experienced that? There are hurts, and either you learn how to overcome evil with good, or you'll be bitter and blame your negative reactions and disobedience on other people rather than counting it all joy, like the Bible says. You and I know people who are miserable, and they blame it on other people. Look at what Jesus says to his disciples in Luke chapter 6, 27, 28, and 35. But I tell you, hear me, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. But love your enemies, do good to them, lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. This whole principle of doing good is applicable in financial matters as well. I think one of the reasons that Bethany is so blessed is because all of the good that this church does for other people. This church is always doing good. In Psalms 112 and verse 5, good will come to him who is generous and lends freely, who conducts his affairs with justice. I mean, just think about on Thanksgiving, before the Monday before Thanksgiving, we handed out 3 bags of groceries to 84 families. Wow. 3 bags of groceries to 84 families. Served the Thanksgiving dinner to over 75 families, the people that came in. 75 people. When you think about what Pastor Tim does with the letter carriers food drive and all that we do with the Love Center, with the Convoy of Hope, with home and foreign missions, with disaster relief, with Royal Family Kids Camp, with missions trips and building schools for the poor. And I could go on and on and on. And there are a lot of critics that says, if this church keeps giving, if it keeps doing this, it's going to go down. There are critics that say that. They say the church gives away too much money. You'll never go down doing good. You'll never go down doing good. Whenever your situation seems bleak and you're having challenges in your finances or challenges in your family, whenever it seems bleak, do good to someone needy. Do good. And watch how God works in that. When you're facing a dark day, do good and your light will become like the noonday sun, the Bible says. When you're ill because of life's pressure, do good and your healing will come quickly. There's something about doing good. When you're going through a wilderness experience and maybe your spiritual life seems dry, do good to someone who's worse off than you are and your life will become like a well-watered garden. You can overcome evil with good. Your response to life situation is what's important. It's your response to the situations that come your way. If you're angry, use your energy to do something good. We don't have to be in a good mood to do something good. We don't have to feel good to do something good. We don't have to be thinking good thoughts to do something good. Just do good. Amen. And soon your mood and your feelings and your thoughts will improve. You see, doing good will improve our health. It'll improve our wealth. It'll improve our relationship with people. Doing good will improve your relationship with God. Doing good is a great way to begin to feel good. So if you're sick and tired of feeling bad, start doing good things for other people. Amen. Luke chapter 6, 35 and 36, love your enemies. Do good to them and tend to them and lend to them without expecting anything back. Then your reward will be great. You'll be the sons of the Most High because he's kind to the ungrateful. He's even kind to the wicked. Be merciful as your Father is merciful. Doing good, overcoming the evil that's within us, overcoming the flesh that tries to destroy the works of the Spirit in our life because of the constant battle that takes place. Doing good changes us. It makes us sons and daughters of the Most High. Doing good even helps us to hear God's voice. It helps us to be in tune with what God wants. We will not quit so easily. We will not take some simple excuse to cause us to quit. Maybe we'll not sing the song, "Hey, won't you play another somebody done somebody wrong song? I'm missing my baby. I'm missing my baby." I know. I can't sing. But the idea is we're just so miserable. We want to let everybody know how miserable we are. You see, but doing good when you've been wrong, totally opposite. Giving gives us the kind of perseverance that James tells us in chapter 1, verse number 4. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature, complete, not lacking anything. He's saying there that when you do good, even when you're going through trials, it changes us. We overcome evil with good, or we can become complacent with the mercy and the grace that we have received. And when you become complacent because God has done so much for you and you become complacent, all of a sudden you'll find bitterness creeping into your life. You will find that it won't be easy for you to persevere. It'll be difficult. You'll want to quit, or you'll not try so hard. I think there's another reason why so many people stop following God, why they find their circumstances too difficult. And I think one of that reasons is we're not armored up. We don't have the armor of God upon our life. We're lacking this armor that God has given to us, this body armor. If we're going to persevere in obedience, how many of you know we need God's armor? Today, we send our troops into battle with armor. The best the world can offer. They have this armor that's called the dragon's skin. I don't know if you've ever heard about it. But it covers the knees, it covers the chest, it covers all the vital organs. And you can take multiple hits with this armor that's called the dragon's skin. And when I think of armor, sometimes I think of the days of King Arthur. When I think of them wearing the knights, wearing this armor completely, even with a shield, that faceplate that comes down. And when the faceplate came down and the knight is in this armor, you cannot see who's inside. You have no idea who's inside. You're not sure who's in the suit of armor. You see, the enemy cannot see inside of the armor. He can't see you. All he sees is God's armor. He can't see who's in there. He just sees the armor of God, because the enemy can challenge you anytime he wants. If he knew who was inside the armor, he could challenge you, pick up all of those stones, all those things that he knows where your weaknesses are, and he can come and he can challenge you and he can attack your faith. But he can't challenge God. And when the armor of God is there and he can't see anything but the armor of God, he's finished. He can't win. So when you're fully armored with God's armor, you can persevere in obedience. That's why it's so important to be armored up. One of the challenges in life is that everyone has an opinion. That's a challenge. Everybody has an opinion in life. I mean, how many times, husband, have you walked out of the house and began to walk out and your wife looks at you and says, "You're not going to wear that outside, are you? You're not going to actually go in public with that. Nothing matches. Can't let you go out like that." See, everybody's got an opinion. How you should do, what you should be. As a Christian leader, I sometimes find that everyone in the church has opinions. How should we run the church? How should the church spend the money? Who should the church be helping? The older I get, I realize that most opinions are not based on God's ways, but they're based on man's ways. The older I get, I see more and more of that. We send our leaders off to school. We send them to learn God's way. We send them out so we can teach them what the ways of God's are. Yet as leaders, one of the reasons why we fail and give in is because we want to please people. We become people pleasers. And the opinion of people matter more to us than they really should. Because we're supposed to be learning God's ways, not people's ways. The Apostle Paul came to understand this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3, he said, "I care very little if I'm judged by you or by any human court. Indeed, I do not even judge myself." He says, "I am not that interested in my own opinion. I'm not concerned about how I see this. God's opinion is the one that counts. God's opinion is the one I'm interested in." And as Christians, and especially as Christian leaders, in order to survive the calling that God has in your life, instead of withering under the judgment of people, you and I need to put on the helmet of salvation. We need to put on that helmet and find God's way and not listen to the opinions of others or the evaluations of the enemy who comes in and tries to destroy our faith. We need our feet also to be shod with this wonderful, wonderful gospel that we have. We need to put boots on that are going to help us to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. We need a sharp sword. We need a highly polished shield of faith. And when our armor is a little thin, the devil can use people to deceive us and harm us if our armor is thin. When the attack comes, you're never going to have time to put the armor on. You have to have the armor on at all times. Because the attack will come when you don't expect it. It'll come from someone you don't expect it to come from. And you have to have your armor. You have to be ready. We have to have this great love for the Word of God. We can't miss coming and hearing the Word of God, because every Sunday, somewhere, somehow, God's going to speak something into your life that's going to protect you for the week. We must be people that are so hungry to hear from God that God speaks to us and protects us and guides us day in and day out. We must have this wonderful love for God that we want to be together with God's people. This love for God is revealed by our willingness to do it His way, wearing His armor. That's why He gave us this wonderful scripture to help us that we might be ready for the attacks of the enemy. Because all of us are going to face spiritual battles in our life every time we turn around. And we need to devote ourselves to something that can protect us in those battles. And sometimes our young people, we play too many computer games. We spend too much time playing computer games, hours and hours and hours on end. It's not likely that the computer games you're playing are going to add anything to your spiritual life. Now, I have to be careful, because some of us like to read novels and watch TV, and it can distract us from what's important. And I'm pointing a finger at myself. Even though there's this big tiff going on with football, I still like to watch football. I spend too much time watching football. I like to be entertained. I enjoy a good program on television or a good movie. I enjoy it. I like to be entertained, but I spend too much time doing that. I don't know where you are, but this is an electronic age and everything to gain our attention. In the end of days, we're going to have to become a little more vigilant, each and every one of us. In Isaiah chapter 64, verse 5, says about God, he says, "When you come to God, you come, and God, He's the one, to the help of those who gladly do right, who remember your ways." You see, God will come to you and help you if you will do what's right. If you will do good, God will come to you. If you will remember his ways, he will come to you. I want you to say this with me. I will gladly do right. I will gladly do right. One more time. I will gladly do right. I will remember your ways. The Lord is coming to help me. You see, the champions of honor, this is part of their code. They've learned this. They believe the word of God. They picked up the shield of faith. They meditate on his word. They put on this helmet of salvation. They memorize the word of God. They have their boots shod with the gospel. They're ready. They're prepared. When you quote God's word and you got the sword of the Spirit coming out of your mouth, when you go out of this service, you go out doing what is right. You go out remembering God's word. You go out, you remember God's way. You have this breastplate of righteousness on, and you are ready for battle. But people who are lightly armored, they should be very careful. Perhaps maybe they should even retreat. If you're not fully armed, I'm not telling you to quit, but if you're not fully armed, you maybe should retreat. Draw away from the battle and armor up. Get armored. Pull away for a moment. Find some time alone with God. And get the armor of God back on your back. Because this is the time of war that we're living in spiritually. Re-engage after you're armored up. To persevere in obedience, we have to learn to overcome evil with good. And the only way you're going to be able to fight this battle is to be fully armored. For perseverance to finish its work, we cannot lack anything. We have to be fully armored with the armor of God. Ready to do good. Ready to do good. Ready to serve with honor. Ready to protect and defend the principles of God's word. Ready to face every spiritual battle that comes our way. The army that's equipped and prepared to do good will be rewarded, and great will be their reward. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for the pure heart that knows your will. We thank you for the pure heart that has a confidence that stands firm. We thank you, Lord, that you enable us to listen to your Spirit, to be filled with your Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for the armor that you've given us. Help us, Lord, to seek your thoughts, to seek your ways, to be open to you. And Lord, this Christmas season, I pray that you would help all of our motives to be pure, so that we truly understand what you're speaking to us, what you're doing through us, what you want for us to accomplish. Because without you, Lord, we can do nothing. So today, Lord, make your church strong. In the precious name of Christ, I pray. Amen. Simple message today. Still based on one form. Never give up. Be prepared. Be prepared. Have the armor of God upon you. And know that God is with you. I always give an opportunity for people to respond to the message. So perhaps maybe you're here this morning and you would say, Pastor, my motive this last week was a little shaky. I know it wasn't a godly motive. I know I thought it might have been good, but I realize now it wasn't. What I did, and I'm not even going to explain what you did because it's between you and the Lord, But you're saying this morning, Lord, I need armor to protect me. I need an armor around me. I want to ask you to remind me of your word continually so that my motives will be pure, that I might see you and follow you. Because this week, I'll be honest with you, Lord, I did something. It wasn't really wrong, but the motive that I did it wasn't right. I want to be pure so that I can see you and know you better. I want this Christmas to be an opportunity for me to express this great love that you have given a Savior to a lost and dying world. Would you help me, Lord, to have a pure motive in everything that I do this Christmas season? I want to do good. I want to do good. I want my motives to be pure, and I want to do good. And I'm just going to stand to my feet and ask you to help me to do good through the power of your Spirit in my life. Simple stand, a simple lifting of your body, a simple lifting of your heart, a simple lifting of the expression of the truth that is in your life. And you're lifting it and saying, Lord, take my heart, make it pure. In this Christmas season, in Jesus' name. Pastor Ken, lead us. Let's sing this song.
This is my desire.
You don't have to feel good to do good. Everything doesn't have to be going your way to do good. This is a season of the year where God looked down upon this earth and none of us were doing good. And yet he did good for us.
Yes, he did.
Yet he did good for us. So it's a simple message because the world is getting to a place where it is stopping the doing of good. And they're rejoicing even on doing of evil. Today is a time for the church to say, even if I don't feel good, even if I don't look good, no matter what, I'm going to do good. So I want you to shake hands with at least 37 people and say, do good. God bless you.